So the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 8. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bill and write 80. The Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. But the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, Make unto your friends of mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Please be seated. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, St. Paul tells us that we must be led by the Spirit of God, because we are heirs to heaven. And so it is the calling that we have. And he says in his epistle that if we're led by the flesh, then we will not live. And that is the struggle that we have to see in the world today. How often so many people are led. They're led by their flesh, by their own desires, their own passions. It had mentioned how to the world, mortification or sacrifice is something that is so foreign to them. It is so unusual for them. And as we approach the pilgrimage, I think it's a great opportunity, one, just to remind us of the fact of sacrifice. Because we know if we've walked in the pilgrimage or helped out in any way, sometimes the different looks that we get from the people, wondering what are we doing. You know, we're walking and we tell these people that we're walking from our church to Mother Cabrini's shrine. So one, they either think that we're strange, that we would do that. But they don't understand this idea of a pilgrimage. They don't understand why we would even attempt to even make something like that. And that is why I had mentioned to you last Sunday that we would start having some sermons on the spirit of a pilgrimage. One, to ensure that we have the proper attitude, the proper spirit behind it. That by understanding what does it mean for us, that one, we can receive all the graces possible for our soul. Because these are the prime opportunities that God gives to us. God will give us many different times, opportunities, graces. And sometimes we turn our back on that, sometimes we don't see it. But God continues to offer these things for us. In a pilgrimage of this nature, it can be daunting, it can be very hard to try to do. But as I say, if you have the proper spirit behind it, if you understand what is a pilgrimage and what is it meant for, then it can help us to gain the graces from that. You know, pilgrimages are characterized by a spirit of penance and prayer. I mean, very simply, we can look at that. I mean, that is why we have the meditations, that is why we pray, we sing. We sing to honor God. and is our means of praying to Almighty God, asking for the graces. But then obviously the penances that we endure, whether the heat, whether it's the walking itself, these penances that we take on, one, they are meant for our own soul to make reparation. But traditionally, the church has always, it has had these pilgrimages in order to give glory to God. As a public way of showing of how much we appreciate what God has done for us and a little thing that we can turn back. Because a pilgrimage is, it's for us, it's a journey to a holy place. And that is why if we understand what we are doing and why we are doing it, that is where we can gain the graces from that. This coming Wednesday is the Feast of St. James the Greater. The pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela is one of the most famous pilgrimages that the church has. It is one that people will walk days, months, in order to get to. Some of the seminarians, some of the priests, they have done that before. They have taken a month out of the time. And they have walked to where the relics of St. James the Greater are. St. James was one of the apostles. He was the first apostle to die. So he was the first to give his life. And so then they brought his relics to Santiago. They brought it to Spain, Galicia. And so it was brought over. And so there it was for the veneration of the people. And so as I mentioned, with pilgrimages, it is a journey to a holy place. It is to go to a place. And so throughout the history of the church, this has become one of the most famous pilgrimages. That yes, people will sacrifice a month of their time to make this walk. There's different spots, different places that they walk from, whether from France, different places in Spain, even Portugal. As I say, there's different routes, but they all lead to the one place. They all come to where the relics of St. James the Greater, his relics are. So he was the brother of St. John the Evangelist, the beloved apostle. These were the Sons of Thunder. And it's interesting to see that gaining this title, the Sons of Thunder, is because of the way that they preached. Preaching the Word of God. And then you can see by then his life of his willingness and to give up his life for God. He was beheaded. And so, as I say, he was the first apostle to become a martyr. And so through that, throughout history, the people have walked this pilgrimage in penance. Penance for their own sins, penance for the church. And by walking that pilgrimage, they can gain a plenary indulgence. Especially when they have it, what they call a holy year. 2010 was the last holy year for the pilgrimage to Santiago. Because the feast day falls on a Sunday. So obviously this year it falls on a Wednesday. But there are still so many graces that are attached to these pilgrimages. And why we are walking it. What we are doing. You know, why would we take this opportunity to do it? I mean, obviously for our pilgrimage to Mother Cabrini, it is in thanksgiving for this beautiful edifice that we have. But we have to continue to understand why we would make this walk. Why year after year we would make this 50 miles to give thanks to God. I mean, certainly we can have our own personal intentions for that, which is great. Praying for a family member. Asking for graces for our duty of state, for our life. Maybe even making a choice in life. These different intentions that we may have, we unite that with the whole spirit of a pilgrimage itself, a prayer and penance. to where we can walk, whether we walk 1 mile, whether we walk the 50 miles, whether we help out with the food. As I mentioned, year after year, it all depends on what the spirit that you bring to it. And that is why when we look at a pilgrimage like Santiago that has been going on for centuries, and to understand why they would make this. I mean, at times people will walk 30 miles a day for 30 days straight. I mean, that requires so much out of a person. And yet they have the intention to do that. And so that's why it's interesting with Santiago itself, the pilgrimage. They have the symbol of a shell. One that is something that they gain to show that they are a pilgrim, that they are making that walk, because sometimes then they would have free lodging, they would have food that is given to them because they are a pilgrim. The people see that they are one of the ones that are making this whole trek. And so in Spain and in these Catholic countries, they would recognize that, and yes, they would help the people that are doing it. And so that would become symbolic of this pilgrimage. But it's interesting to see how also with the symbolism behind it, that on this shell that it has all the different grooves in it, they would say that it is symbolic of all the different routes that can be taken, but they lead to the one point again. They come to the relics of St. James the Greater. As I mentioned, that there's different routes that you can take from different countries even. But they all converge on the Cathedral of St. James to venerate this saint, to venerate the first apostle who gave his life for our Lord. And so not only does the shell signify the different routes that they can take in order to get to St. James, but they say it also signifies God's hand in it, of how God would lead them to this point. And I think that's something also for us to always to consider and to keep in mind. That God blesses these pilgrimages that we make when we have the good spirit behind them. And so our pilgrimage, thanks be to God and to the work that is done and organized, it is very well organized, it is very well done. But we have to continue to have that great spirit behind it, because it will continue to grow. And obviously, as things continue to grow, you certainly don't want them to be watered down. And that is if we understand properly the spirit behind a pilgrimage. Why are we doing it? Why do we take these steps? It's interesting to see in doing some research on Santiago. But the pilgrimage is so famous, it has also become just a feat for people to do, to say that I've walked Santiago. For them, it's not spiritual in any sense. For them, it's just, okay, well, I've accomplished the Santiago pilgrimage. They probably don't even know Santiago, who that's in reference to. And so for them, they have a completely different spirit behind it. But for those souls that do take it as a spiritual journey, as a means to give honor and glory to God, that they walk maybe 30 miles a day for 30 days, say, that they are doing it because they want to show that to God. And that's why I say for us, when we're looking at our 50 miles, trust me, 50 miles is not for me. Don't worry. I'm not looking for a bigger pilgrimage than that. Father Cyprian, he can do that. I'm happy with the 50. But even with that, that is why I say you don't have to walk the whole 50 to have the proper spirit or to gain the graces from it. If you have the spirit of a pilgrimage and you help out, you walk some, whatever, that is where you will gain the graces from it. Because as I say, it is not a feat for us. It is not something that we can just say, oh, I did the whole 50 miles. Well, thanks be to God if you do the whole 50 miles, but that's not the means behind it. The purpose behind it is to give honor and glory to God, to make reparation, to be done out of a spirit of prayer and penance, And so for us, we can look to the Pilgrimage of Santiago and to see the organization. You can see, that's something that Father Cyprian has said, it is very well organized, that pilgrimage. For people to try to walk those kind of distances, it would have to be. And so we can look to that as an example for us, to have the same spirit behind it. For us to be able to try to walk that same with that same spirit behind our pilgrimage itself too. That is what we can look to. One of the most famous pilgrimages of the church. It was done to give honor and glory to Santiago, to St. James, St. James the Greater, but obviously to God, to be thankful to God, to walk in that spirit of a pilgrimage. And that is why when we look at these words of St. Paul today, where he talks about mortifying the flesh, by mortifying it, you can walk in the grace of God. And so for us, what greater means than to mortify ourselves? Yes, to maybe walk out in the heat, to walk this pilgrimage. But the mortification must be because we want to be pleasing to God. This is where we will gain the graces of God. And that's why I say it doesn't matter to what extent you help out with it. As long as we have the proper disposition behind it, that is where the graces will come for us. And so when we see these different pilgrimages that the church has always has done for many, many centuries, and we see the pilgrimage that we're able to offer to God, let us continue to have that proper spirit behind it. Let us continue to do it for the honor and the glory of God. Because that is where we will gain the graces. But truly, a pilgrimage must be done in prayer and penance. And by doing so, yes, we shall live for all eternity because we're mortifying the flesh. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.